Deuteronomy 33, this is Moses' blessing of the tribes. I want to just make a couple of comments on a few of the tribes here. Verse 6, let Reuben live and not die, nor let his men be few. Well, Reuben was the firstborn of Jacob, but he was, as it were, removed from being firstborn because of his sin. But here he's mentioned in the first place, whereas in the other lists of the tribes he tends not to be mentioned first. Well, it's requested here by Moses that Reuben should not die and that he shouldn't have few descendants. And I wonder if Moses' idea here is that he's longing for the day when the effect of all sin, the effect of all curses for disobedience, will finally be removed. Now, that is only ultimately, of course, in God's kingdom, because in this life we all live with consequences of sin. But he's looking forward to the day when we will not live with the consequences of our sins. And Reuben will again be the firstborn, etc. Verse 11, Yahweh bless his substance. This is talking about Levi, that Levi's substance or wealth was to be blessed and accept the work of his hands. Well, Levi was to have no land inheritance. All that they had was to be given to them by Israel. The tithes, etc., the freewill offerings were to be given to them. That was how they were to live. They were to focus upon God's work and not to have land. So, Yahweh bless his substance. I think what he's saying here is that he wishes that Israel would be obedient. And so when he's praying then that Levi will have sort of wealth, that his substance would be blessed, he's effectively asking God to make all the tribes of Israel be blessed themselves with a lot of material substance, and for them to give that to Levi. So you see here how complex things are, because you could say that it was up to their free will whether they gave generously to the Levites or not, whether they obeyed the command to tithe or not. And yet here Moses prays that Levi will have plenty of wealth, a blessed substance. It's as if he's praying that God will sort of make the Israelites be obedient to their obligations to the Levites. And yet you could say, well, you know, why not just leave it that they're obedient if they're obedient? You see all the time this extra element, that it's not simply a case of God facing off against man over an open Bible, here are the principles, here are my laws, you go off and do them, and if you do, well, I shall weigh up how well you've done. It's more than that. It is an encouragement by God in response to prayers of third parties here, such as Moses, so that we might be obedient. As the brethren remarked in the first century, God has granted repentance to the Gentiles unto life. He not only gives forgiveness, he gives even repentance. Then you go on to Levi. As Levi was separate from his brethren, so Joseph was to be, or had been separate. We know that Levi was separated from his brethren in the sense that he was separated for, made holy or sanctified unto specific service. But Joseph, verse 16, was also separate from his brethren. And Moses here wishes all this blessing on the crown of the head of him who was separate from his brothers. Now, separate here is the word Nazirited. It's not as if he actually himself chose to be Nazirited. That was a free will vow. But by his brothers' attitudes to him, by their rejection of him, he was somehow separate. But he was therefore separated unto the special work that he had to do for God in his life. And in so many lives, this is the same thing. It is separation from our brethren, because they rejected us, which led us to service to God. And all this is how God works through dysfunction. Was it right what the brothers did to Joseph? No, it wasn't. But all the same, God worked through it to Nazirite him, to separate him unto his service. You see, the same, I think, with Job. It was all his fallout with his friends and all the pain caused by their lies, their false accusations, their total lack of sympathy for him. It was that which led him to the Spirit of Christ, in fact. It was that which led him to God. Verse 24, Asher. May Asher be blessed with children, let him be acceptable to his brothers. Well, in the same way as he's spoken about the Levites being separated from their brothers, he's spoken in a different sense about Joseph being separated from his brothers. And verse 24, let Asher be acceptable to his brothers. I think there is the hint here, at least in those three tribes, Levi, Joseph, that is Ephraim and Manasseh, and Asher, that Moses lamented, really, the lack of unity. And it's as if he's looking forward to the kingdom when all those issues between brethren will be resolved. We've got to be careful of that attitude of saying, oh, well, we look forward to the kingdom when it'll all be worked out. Because actually it is unloving attitudes to our brethren which will exclude us from the kingdom. You won't get there. If you can't forgive your brother, if you can't love your brother who you have seen, you don't love God whom you have not seen, etc. So it's easy to say, oh, well, yeah, right, let's have this argument, let's have this disagreement, you can't be in fellowship with us or whatever, but we look forward to the kingdom when it will all be resolved. Well, yeah, yes, but it might be resolved in that you who are chucking people out or you who are telling people that they can't come to the Lord's table, that you actually might not be there. That's what you've got to be aware of. And yet it is also true, as we see here, that the faithful do look forward to there not being a separation between Joseph and his brothers, Asher being acceptable to his brothers, Levi not being separated from his brethren, etc., but that we will all come together. So that is one of the wonderful things that I certainly look forward to in the kingdom of God, that all the differences between God's people, the personal issues, the jealousy issues, the inherited issues that have been inherited, as it were, from previous generations, the theological issues that divide us, the struggle for interpretation, the struggle to get it all right, etc., the different style, the different culture, that all this finally will be resolved in God's kingdom. I truly look forward to that. Although, of course, as I have said, we should be living now as we shall eternally live, because we have, as Jesus says in John's Gospel many times, we now have the eternal life. We are to live the kind of life that we shall eternally live. We're to live that right now.